I'd just like to extend a warm welcome to you all this morning. Of course, this morning this day is set aside as Mother's Day, and we remember that the church is the Lord's mother. It's the Lord's mother within us. For it is the truths of the church that give birth to goodness, or can lead us to what is good and true. And of course, all good and all truth is from the Lord. And today, as we continue with our series in Mark's Gospel, we come to the story of Bartimaeus, who was blind. And his blindness represents for us the seeking of truth, the need to be able to see how to move forward. And so we're going to be exploring this story today in relation to our own need to move forward, to be able to see truth, and from that truth to know what it is to love, and thereby move on in our lives toward that center of having a genuine concern for the spiritual well-being of others. So readings from the Word this morning, beginning with the Old Testament book of Isaiah, reading chapter 42, verses 5 through to 9. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it, and spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and I will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring the prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. We are reading from the New Testament, from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. Now they came to Jericho, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I might receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, Go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. And the reading found on your service sheet from the church's teachings from the work The Arcana Celestia. The Word teaches that the first and foremost matter of doctrine is to love the Lord and charity towards the neighbour. People with the affirmative attitude towards this are able to enter into whatever things of the rational, factual, or indeed sensory kind they please, each according to his ability, knowledge, and experience. Indeed, the more they do so, the more they are confirmed. For the whole natural order is full of what is confirmatory. but people who deny this first and foremost teaching, and who wish first of all to be convinced by means of factual and rational considerations that a thing is true, never allow themselves to be convinced because they deny in their hearts and are all the time taking their stand on some other basic idea which they believe to be essential. In the end, through confirmations of that idea, these people so blind themselves that they cannot even know what love to the Lord is and what love towards the neighbor is. And because they confirm themselves in notions contrary to such love, they at length also confirm themselves in the idea that no other kind of love can exist that has any delight in it except self-love and the love of the world. And this they do to such an extent, if not in doctrine, yet in the lives they lead, that they embrace hellish love in place of heavenly love. So we come to the story about Bartimaeus and his need of healing. And what we have to realize, of course, is that what is presented in the literal sense quite often can have a very different meaning in terms of the internal sense of the word. We would look upon someone who is blind and a beggar in a natural sense as someone who is really struggling with life, trying to come to terms with life. Their inability perhaps to find employment back at that time was something that meant that they were in the lowest levels of society. They were outcasts. People with illnesses such as this, who were blind, perhaps lame, had no way of gaining substance other than to beg. But from a spiritual perspective, being blind and being a beggar, at least being conscious of being blind and being a beggar, is the foundation for spiritual growth and development. Because without realizing that we are blind, without realizing that in terms of our internal state, we are destitute without the Lord and thus are truly a beggar, we cannot receive what the Lord has to offer. And as we've been following through Mark, we can see here the culmination of a whole series of teachings. A few weeks ago, we looked at the story of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus. The person represented there as one of being self-sufficient, able to make it on one's own, of believing that the truth one has is something that one has acquired for oneself. Something that we've been able to, through the powers of our own reasoning, have been able to figure out. Of course, we learnt there that that is not the case at all. That all truth is from the Lord. It seems that we acquire it of ourselves. But the truth is, it is from the Lord. And then we saw James and John coming to Jesus, one wanting to sit on the left, one on the right. And in this, they wanted greatness in the kingdom. And of course, Jesus' response was, you have to serve to be great. And so this attitude that James and John, that they could only receive joy through ruling over others, through dominating others, through manipulating others, through have others serve them, has to be broken. So self-sufficiency has to be broken. This idea that others are around to serve us, or even that the Lord is there to serve our ends, has to be broken. And so we come to this state of blindness and beggingness, if you like, represented by Bartimaeus. Who is Bartimaeus? Well, his name actually means son of contamination, or son of pollution, or son of what is unclean. And when we're talking about spiritual ideas, the things that make them unclean are when we bring our own natural ideas about spiritual things and interpret them in that light. So this contamination of spiritual ideas is due to the low-grade natural ideas we hold about spiritual things. And these low-grade ideas, if you like, are present because we are still hanging on to being self-sufficient or of wanting others to serve us. And so, of course, anything that would contradict that, that we learn from the Word, we put our own interpretation on it so that it won't affect us too much. When we do that, spiritual ideas become polluted. And so it is we see that Bartimaeus represents a state of consciousness within us all, within all of those who choose to walk the path of truth that leads to goodness, to love. There is the natural mind struggles. In fact, the writings tell us that it cannot even comprehend that life flows into us, that the life we have is not our own, that we are mere recipients of life. We need truth to teach us that God is the source of life. Without being taught that, we cannot come to it of our own reasoning faculties. We have to be taught it. And so this is another idea that pollutes our ideas with regard to spiritual life. That idea that life is our own, that it somehow resides intrinsically in us. It doesn't. So what of the condition that Bartimaeus is suffering from? Well, first we hear that he is blind. And blindness is an inability to see. And spiritually, it's an inability to comprehend or understand spiritual truths. And he represents us on our own journey, where we struggle to see how we might love more effectively and more appropriately, where we struggle to find the truths that can teach us how to do that. That is what this blindness is about. But to be conscious of that, you have to have at least some truth. And so Bartimaeus represents a condition of progress. Throughout the Gospel of Mark, we've been looking at how it is a progress of the Lord's Word within our own minds, that Jesus' movement from place to place, his dealings with the various peoples and conditions that he came across, this is the Word's own activity within our own life. And so we have reached the stage here of Bartimaeus, of having some truth, of having heard something of the spiritual life. And now knowing that we perhaps don't quite measure up to that teaching about loving the Lord and loving our neighbor. But it is a progression. For truth, and what little truth we have, reveals our lack. And so it is we must seek in order that our understanding might be enlightened. Spiritual truth is found in the Lord's Word, in the Bible. That is where we can learn the principles of spiritual growth and development, where we can draw from there what we need in order to learn how to love appropriately. Because the end of truth is to love. The Lord desires that we move beyond just merely understanding the Word, move beyond just knowledges of it, but enter into the very living reality of it on a day-to-day basis. He desires that we move beyond a purely literal understanding of it, that we enter into its spiritual content, so that we can indeed have the tools by which we can deal with those things within us, those issues of selfishness that arise within us on a daily basis. Things we may not be conscious of, some of which we will definitely be conscious of if we are seeking to live according to the Lord's word. It is our lack that drives our seeking. This is why blindness is mentioned first, and then we are told that Bartimaeus is a beggar. Because a beggar realizes their lack. They know that they are in need of something by which they can purchase good or goods. And the thing they need and the thing that they are begging for is money. And money corresponds to truth. It is the means by which goods are purchased. And so truth is there that we might purchase, if you like, love, that we might come into a fuller understanding of what it is to love, how we are to love, how we are to be effective in our relationships with one another and those who are closer to us. So it is this lack by which we can acknowledge a dependence on others. And the ground for having dependence on others, illustrated by the beggar, is our acknowledgement that we are dependent upon the Lord for everything. For everything. And once this acknowledgement is made, something can begin to happen in our life. And we see this in that we are told that Jesus came into Jericho, and as he was going out, Bartimaeus is sitting on the side of the road. So Jesus had come into Jericho, and this is the Lord coming in to the literal understanding of the word. If you remember, Jericho was the first city that the Israelites came up against when they moved through their exodus from Egypt. So Israel stood on the borders of Canaan, the borders of the promised land. And what is the promise for us? The promise is that we will love in appropriate and effective ways. And so Jericho, or the literal sense of the word, is the ground from which we move initially. And so it is there that the Lord passes through. And so it is that when we feel that lack, it is his word that we need to seek him in. And we find that he moves beyond Jericho. So we can go beyond the literal understanding, and we can begin to see how that these stories in the word apply to our internal world, the world of our thoughts and our affections. And as it begins to be applied there, so the Lord can transform us. Transform the very nature of our being. Our very seeking. Bartimaeus calling out to the Lord. Our very seeking is stimulated by the Lord himself, by the presence of his word within our minds. For he can enter into that, and he can bring enlightenment. He can bring the desire for better things, the desire to be a more compassionate, loving and understanding person. But we must believe that the Lord is here, if that shift is going to occur in here. And so it is according to our belief our healing will come, as it was with Bartimaeus. So we see the need for this dependence on the Lord, a recognition of it, an acknowledgement of it. It doesn't seem like we are dependent on the Lord for everything, but truth teaches us that it is the case. And when any idea or affection arises that would seek to contradict that, then that truth is given so that that idea might be held in check, so that it doesn't pollute spiritual ideas, spiritual realities, the truth that the Lord is the source of all. His dependence shows that we acknowledge that our growth and development in spiritual things is beyond our capacity. It is outside of our natural abilities. And the first thing of repentance is a recognition of the Lord in His Word. Because it's by means of the Word that we can see our own states and know what it is we have to deal with. And it's through that acknowledgement and through a willingness to deal with those things and a recognition that the Lord is the only one that can assist us there, that these things, these aspects of our own selfishness might truly be dealt with once and for all. And this aspect of dependence flies in the face of worldly wisdom, which would preach to us self-reliance, independence. And what Jesus brings is a counterculture, a true culture, something which acknowledges our dependence and our connectedness with one another. We cannot do without one another. We are created to be in relationship with one another. And where we reject that idea and become isolated, we suffer. And those around us suffer as well. So being a beggar in the spiritual sense is not such a bad thing. Being a beggar shows a state of receptiveness. State of receptiveness to the Lord's Word. It teaches us that we are merely stewards of what we have, and that what we have needs to be used for the promotion of the Lord's kingdom, for the development of a genuine concern for the spiritual well-being of one another in each other. That is where our focus needs to be. It's interesting that the word beggar, the root word for beggar, the Greek word, actually means, certainly has the idea of asking, but it also means to crave or to desire. To desire. To desire truth. And so, being a beggar, in the spiritual sense, means to be in an affection for what is true. Desiring what is true. In order that we might procure what is good or what is of love. So what about Bartimaeus sitting on the side of the road? Well, we looked at the road last week and we saw that the Greek word for road is way, and that the road is the road of life. It is the road of spiritual life, specifically here. It is the road of following the Lord's Word. So it is the road of truth. And it is that the condition is such that Bartimaeus is sitting beside the road. But he is desirous of entering into it. And we all get to those sorts of positions where we want to move on, but we just cannot see how to go about it. And this is what Bartimaeus is for us. It is us sitting beside the road, not knowing how to move on. We can't see the road. but we know it is there. We can hear the traffic on it. So we can, to some degree, sense it. And it is that sensing, that need, that desire to get up and get on that road that we all need to enter into. And so it is, he hears that Jesus of Nazareth is coming. Now the term Jesus of Nazareth is an interesting term in that it's just Jesus, just some guy from Nazareth coming along the road. But the actual term that Bartimaeus uses is not Jesus of Nazareth when he calls out his name. It is Jesus, son of David. And that term is a recognition of Jesus' lineage at a natural level. But it is also a recognition of Jesus' authority in his life. For he is a Jew. And here, in acknowledging Jesus as the son of David, he acknowledges him as the Messiah, the coming king. And so it is, the king represents the principles that govern our lives. And it is a recognition that the word contains those principles that can govern our lives, govern us so that we can enter in to what is good and what is true. And so he calls out. And what is it that Bartimaeus asks for? Well, the first reading, it might be we would answer that he asks for his sight. But in effect, he doesn't. What he asks for first is mercy. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And mercy is a term of love. And we can see here that what Bartimaeus is asking for is love. Bartimaeus wants love in his life. He's got truth. And that truth points to the fact that he needs to become a more loving and compassionate person. But those things of selfishness that rise up tend to contradict what he is wanting to head toward. And so he asks the Lord for mercy. And in asking the Lord for mercy, we go to the Word and seek how to love. That is the Lord's mercy. It is the end of spiritual life, loving the Lord and loving our neighbor. And what happens when he asks for this mercy? When he calls out, well, the crowd tell him to be quiet. And we've come across this word for crowd before, which is the Greek term oklos. And oklos, we saw, means the disorganized thoughts and affections of the lower natural mind. That mind that thinks it knows best. It turns around and it tells Bartimaeus to keep his need to himself. Don't bother the Lord. And so we have these elements within us. When we think that we are self-sufficient, that life is of ourselves, and this pressing need represented by Bartimaeus comes into our consciousness, we too can have those things suppressed, have that need and desire suppressed, and go on in those habitual patterns of life which rend destruction all around us. It allows our selfishness to be promoted. But we see that Bartimaeus is not silenced. In fact, he lifts the intensity and calls again. And that is what we must do. When we enter situations where we get that gentle, intuitive, perhaps feel that we should be doing something in the situation, something loving, kind, compassionate, but our selfishness is getting in the way, then we need to return to the Lord's word, the principles there, and shore ourselves up in them. Firm ourselves up so that that desire can come to the fore and be expressed in an action. Because Bartimaeus, shouting all the louder, brings Jesus to a standstill. The Lord stood still. And it says the Lord called out, but in the Greek it said, he sounded him. The idea is that he saw into the depths of his being. He sounded him. He plumbed his depths. And he knew that this one was ready to be brought in to a much fuller expression of the Lord's love and mercy. But it's not Jesus that speaks to Bartimaeus. Jesus speaks to the crowd. And then the crowd are the ones that say, well, hey, come on, he's calling you. And so it is that when the Lord's word is given authority in our life, those lower thoughts and affections represented by the oklos, that crowd, that multitude, the busyness of life, those things are put in order. And when they come under the authority of the word, so they become serviceable to the things of the kingdom. And they are able to draw the condition out, beckon it forth to the Lord. And so the Lord's word begins to take effect in our life. It says that they, that is the crowd, sounded the blind. This is our perception of the condition that we are in. The crowd, from the crowd we begin to see ourselves that we are indeed blind and in need of the Lord's mercy. We're in need of a transformation in our thinking processes concerning spiritual things. Those ideas, those natural ideas, begin to fall to the side. You see, what Bartimaeus does is he throws his garment aside, rises up, and comes to the Lord. And the garment represents what is most exterior. What we clothe ourselves with. And from a psychological or spiritual perspective, it's what we clothe our thinking with. Those things that cover the deeper things of our life. And so this condition that we spoke about before of greatness, that condition of self-sufficiency, the idea that life is our own, these are natural ideas represented in this garment which is thrown aside in readiness for the Lord's healing touch. So it's throwing aside that set of ideas that allows for a new set of ideas in their place, which is represented by the Lord Himself. And so we recognize, yes, it feels like me. It is me that makes the effort. But we recognize that the ability to do anything in spiritual things is from the Lord. And we enter into that principle of as of ourselves, but from the Lord. And so, when our minds are rightly ordered by those truths, then the process of healing can begin. They said to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. With the throwing off of those exterior limiting ideas, the things we've clothed our mind with in natural life, new ideas begin to take their place. In coming to Jesus, Jesus then gets him to seek his motives, look into his own condition. But Jesus says, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And he says, "Rabboni, that I might receive my sight." In fact, what it says in the Greek is that I should be up looking, that I should be looking from a higher place, that I should not be being dominated by this lower level self-centered thinking, but that I could think from those principles that I have been learning, that I might receive a spiritual understanding of things, an understanding that looks through the eyes of mercy, compassion, and goodness, that I might love more appropriately and more effectively, that I may no longer dwell in the blindness of my own selfishness. And Jesus says, "Go your way. Your faith or your belief has made you well. It is your belief that has saved you. Do you believe that the Lord is in His Word? Do you believe that all good and truth come from the Lord? Do you believe that He is truly your life? Do you recognize that there is more to the Lord's Word than what is on its surface? That beneath these historical stories, there is meaning that has application to your life. That within the Word, there is the power to transform your world. It has the power to give you true sight, spiritual insight, and that it can make you a more loving and compassionate person." And so it is. We are told that he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. He uplooks. He is able to see from that higher place and so enters in to the road of spiritual life towards what is good and true. Amen.